Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
One or another. This last week, Florida made the news with its weather. They had 10 inches of snow. How many saw that? 10 inches of snow. You know, instead of snow-covered pines, it was snow-covered palms. Instead of white sandy beaches, it was white snowy beaches nestled right up against to a beautiful turquoise ocean come rolling. It was a really unique sight to see. Most of the time, when Florida makes the news about weather, it's about a hurricane. Now, that's what you usually think of. You know, back when Hurricane Andrew hit southern Florida, just devastated that part of the state, there was a news crew that was driving throughout the state where we're places that were really hit bad. They found this neighborhood, everything's totally destroyed, all the houses gone except one. One house standing strong, solid on its foundation. And so the news crew, they pulled over, reporter got out because they saw the owner just picking up debris. And they approached him and says, "Hey, we noticed that your house is standing. How did you escape all the destruction? How come you have no damage?" And he says, "Well, I built the house myself. And when I built it, I followed the Florida State Building Code. When the code said use 2x6 roof trusses, I used 2x6 roof trusses. I read that if I build a house according to code, it would withstand a hurricane. I did, and it did. I guess nobody else around here followed the code." You know, when life is sunny and the skies are blue, it's really tempting to build your life on things that are not part of God's ways and His will for our lives. But when the storm hits, there is only one way to survive it, and that's obedience. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, obedience, as we are on part four of our series. We're going through the book of Joshua, and our theme for 2025 is what? Okay, you had to think about it. The faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And today, we're going to see, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5 and also Deuteronomy chapter 10. We're going to start in Deuteronomy 10 and then get into Joshua 5. But today, we're going to talk about how God is faithful in obedience. God is faithful in obedience. We're glad to have all of you here today. And those who are joining us online, thank you for being with us. We're glad that you're with us, and we want to journey in Joshua, and we're going to start in Deuteronomy 10, and the setting of this is Moses is getting ready to get, he's giving final instructions to Israel as they're going to enter the promised land. This is at the end of Moses' life. He's not going to enter in. 40 years before, Israel rejected. They were afraid of the giants, so they didn't go in. This is 40 years later. And this is what Moses says to them. He says in verse 12 of chapter 10, Deuteronomy, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you?" Do you know what God requires of you? This is what he said. This is what God wants. "But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good." So in this passage, we see Moses, he's talking about loving God. But what's interesting is he bookends loving God with several different statements. He sandwiches love, love's in the middle. What does he say before he talks about loving God? He says to fear God, walk in all of his ways. And then he says, love God. But then what does he say after that? He says, serve him with all of your heart and soul. And then he says, keep his commands and his statutes. Now, as you read those statements that are the bookends, what's kind of the common theme there? It's obedience. You think about it. You fear God. You respect him. You do what he wants. You walk in his ways. You serve him, not just half-heartedly, but with all your heart. You serve him with all of your soul. And then you follow his commandments. You keep his commandments. You do his statutes. Here's the thing we need to realize is that obedience is what surrounds love. Loving God is surrounded by obedience. In your notes this morning, our love for God is measured by our obedience to God. Our love for God is measured by our obedience to God. It's easy to say, oh, I love you, Lord. But are you willing to do what he asks you to do? Jesus taught the same thing in John chapter 14, verse 5. He said, if you love me, okay, let's try that again, all right? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you're watching online, type in the chat session, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said a few verses later, just so that you didn't miss what he said, verse 23 and 24 of chapter 14, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. How many want Jesus to make your home within you? I do. Well, to do that, we need to keep his word. We need to obey. He says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And then in chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus says it again. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Our love for God is measured by our obedience to God. And you think about it for a moment. If you love someone, then do you intentionally do things that violate their wishes, that go against their will? No. If you love someone, you're not trying to hurt them. You're not trying to do the things that are opposing what they desire. You try to please them. My wife, before Christmas, she was just talking about this nail polish she had and how it was. She had it for quite a long time. She absolutely loved the shade of it, but it was goopy, and she just said, man, I got to throw this away. It's not good anymore. And I took a note, and I put it in my cell phone, okay? Guys, I want you to listen up here. What I'm giving you is pure gold, all right? In my phone, I have a note Saturday at 3 a.m. in the morning, okay? Now, no, the reason, because it's up at the top, it's always there, so I know where to find it. And I have gifts for Rebecca. Whenever she says something, I go to this and I type in it, and it's a repeating thing. So it's every Saturday, and when I get done with a Saturday, I just delete this Saturday, but it's there every single Saturday, so I know where it's at. And so I've got a running list. When Christmas comes, when birthday comes, when Valentine's comes, when Mother's Day comes, when anniversary comes, I'm not going, oh boy, what am I going to get her? You know, I've got a list, okay? I'm telling you guys, this is gold. You need to do that. But anyway, she said this nail polish. I says, all right, I know what I'm going to do. And because her birthday's in January, she just had it last week and she turned. Anyway, I try to do my Christmas shopping and birthday shopping at the same time. And I won't say what I'm going to say. I'd get in trouble. So, yeah, I won't say it. You're dying to know what I want to say, huh? Well, Primetimers had a great breakfast for their lunch, and she could have joined me this time officially. I'm in the day. Hey, curiosity got me. I love you, honey. Will you forgive me? I think I just violated her will. Do I really love her? I'll let you be the judge of that. Anyway. So I like to get Christmas and birthday presents. So I went to the store. I knew where she got it. Store didn't have it. I start checking out every store in Casper that carried that brand of nail polish. None of them had it. I go online to Amazon. Amazon didn't carry that shade. I contact the manufacturer. It's discontinued. So I finally found it on eBay. I bought it, and it came in. It was supposed to be in for her birthday. It came in late, but I gave it to her. She absolutely loved it. And here's the thing. When you love someone, what you want to do is you want to find their wishes and their will, and then you please it, you don't violate it. And if we love God, then we want to find his wishes, find his will, and not violate it, but embrace it and fulfill it. That's called obedience. Our love for God is measured by our obedience to God. This morning, we're going to take a look at three lessons on loving obedience from Joshua chapter 5. Open your Bible there. And this first lesson is this morning. I love God more than understanding God's ways. So, what am I going to do? I will obey even if it doesn't make sense. Even if God says something and I'm scratching my head, I says, God, this isn't logical. This isn't rational. But because I love you more than I want to understand, I'm going to obey you. When little kids get older, you know, kind of past the toddler stage where they now can kind of comprehend things and they can speak pretty good, what's one of their favorite questions? You know it, yeah. Why? Why? Why is it dark? Because the sun went down. Why? Because that's the way God made it. Why? So that people, plants, and animals can rest. Why? Because we get tired. Why? And it's like, it just goes on. Because I said so, all right? You know. But they love to ask why. But you know what? They're not the only ones. We like to ask why. When God says something or something doesn't make sense in our lives, what do? Why? We want to understand. And when something God is doing doesn't line up with our understanding, we're tempted not to obey. But if we really love God more than we love understanding what God is doing, then we're going to say, I will obey you even if it doesn't make sense. And we're going to see that here in Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. It says, so it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, so that's in the promised land, okay? And all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, they heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan River. We talked about that last week. The Jordan was dried up. It parted like the Red Sea. Israel went through on dry ground. When they heard that the waters of the Jordan dried up before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, their heart melted. There was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. God says, circumcise all of the guys, all of your soldiers, the ones who are going to fight against this enemy. Now, I want you to think about this. They have just crossed the Jordan River, and they're in the promised land. They're in enemy territory. And God says, now, when the enemy is close, circumcise yourselves. You know, if I'm thinking about this, God, you should have asked us to do it on the other side of the river. We talked last week that the Jordan is in flood stage. It's overflowing its banks. It's dangerous. The armies are not going to be able to cross successfully. What logically makes sense is that before we cross the river, this river is our defense. We circumcise ourselves and we heal up. Then we cross the river. We don't do it when we are defenseless. But you know what? God is a better defense than any river. And God said, I want you to do it now. And here's the thing. Israel didn't realize what was going on behind the scenes. They only knew this doesn't make sense to do it now. But what was happening? We read it in verse 1. Let's look at it again. It says in verse 1, when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, all the kings of the Canaanites by the sea, heard the Lord dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we crossed over, their heart melted. There is no spirit in them any longer. When they saw the miracle, they lost the will to fight. They gave up. They felt it was hopeless. Why? Well, last week we read in Joshua chapter 3, verse 16, we read about this. It says, the waters which came down from upstream. Realize this is a river, so it's getting constant water, and where it stops, it says, the water that came upstream, it stood still, and it rose up in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that's beside Zaratan. Adam was a city that was 19 miles upstream from where Israel crossed the Jordan. 19 miles, the water backs up. It heaps up. It doesn't flow out to the sides over its banks. It heaps up high, making this huge wall of water for 19 miles. Just to give you an idea of 19 miles, how many know where Sonic is on Hat 6 Road out there? 15 miles is driving from Sonic, going past Menards, Texas Roadhouse, going past McKinley, downtown, getting off at Poplar, going down to Poplar to where old Yellowstone is, going past the Derrick along the Pat River, going through Mills and to the airport. That's 15 miles. You want to go 19? You got to go 4 miles west of the airport. And so from Sonic to 4 miles west of the airport, the water heaps up 19 miles. And these pagan nations, they're seeing this wall of water on the horizon, and they're going, oh my goodness. How do we fight a people where their God controls nature? How do you defeat that? But Israel didn't know that's what they felt. To them, this is a dumb time to do this, God. What were you thinking? But what was Joshua's response? In verse 3, when God says, circumcise yourselves, verse 3, Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the son of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. He doesn't question it. He doesn't doubt it. He obeyed God immediately because, friends, when you love God, you obey him even if it doesn't make sense. You trust him. And there are times in our lives when God asks us to do something, we don't understand it. It's not logical. It's not the right timing, or so we think, but we don't see what's happening behind the scenes. We don't see the big picture like God does, and he knows what he says to do, when he says to do it, and why we should do it, even if we do not. Our love for God is measured by our obedience to God, and that means that we love him instead of loving, understanding him and what he's doing, and so I'm going to obey him when it doesn't make sense. That's the first lesson we learn about loving God and obedience. The second lesson we learn is that I love God more than I desire pleasure and comfort, so I will obey even when it's painful. I'll obey God when it's painful because I love him more than me being comfortable, than me having fun, than me enjoying this. And you know, and I don't know about you, but guys, when I read that verse that all of the men were circumcised, you know what I do? I'm going, ouch. I kind of cringe when I read that there. How many guys cringe with me on that? You're just thinking about that. It's like, ouch, that's painful. That hurts. And there's sometimes God asks us to do things that hurt us in the short term, but in their long term, therefore, our benefit. You know, a good question is, why did God want them to be circumcised? I wonder if some of them asked him, why? Well, the reason for that, it wasn't the health issue, okay? We're told in Joshua chapter 5, verse 4, this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came out of Egypt, that's the men who left 40 years before the 10 plagues, those who came out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war, they died in the wilderness on the way after they came out of Egypt, for all the people who came out have been circumcised. But all of the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. So this whole generation, their parents died off in the wilderness, they were circumcised, but their parents never obeyed God and circumcise them. And you might be thinking, well, what's the big deal about circumcision? In your notes, if this isn't there, write down Genesis 17, verses 7 to 4. Genesis 17, verses 7 to 4. In this passage of Scripture, God makes a covenant with Abraham, and he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm also going to give you the land, this covenant land of Israel. It's going to be your eternal possession. You're going to have it forevermore. And what takes place, as God goes on to say, is that the sign of the covenant is circumcision. The sign of the covenant is circumcision. And if you're not circumcised, you're cut off from the covenant and you're cut off from the land, the covenant land. So for Israel to inherit this land, they had to be restored to the covenant by being circumcised. If they weren't circumcised, they couldn't be part of it, because that's what God gave to Abraham. And this is the thing, circumcision, with many things we see in the Old Testament, things in the Old Testament were foreshadowing. There are spiritual lessons. They have symbolism for us. And with circumcision, we have this in your notes, circumcision was symbolic of cutting away all flesh from our hearts. Cutting away all fleshly desires, all selfish desires, circumcising our hearts so that we want to serve God. We just read those verses in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13 about how fear God, walk in his ways, love God, serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, keep his commandments and statutes. We read that about how love is sandwiched with obedience. Look what it says right after that in verse 14. This is what it says. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that's in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them. He chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples as it is this day. Therefore, verse 16, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. You know what stiff-necked is? Stubborn, obstinate, rebellious. I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do. I'm going to do it my way. When I want, how I want. And wasn't that what Israel did? God says, enter the promised land. No. You know, time after time, God tells them to do something. They keep disobeying. They were stiff-necked. And God says, you see, this sign of circumcision was a sign of cutting away the flesh of our heart, the selfish desires, the rebellion, the stiff-neckedness. And the Apostle Paul, he knew what it was talking about when he wrote to the Roman church. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, Paul said, he was not a Jew who was one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. God wants us to love the things of the spirit more than the things of this world. God wants us to love and obey him more than our pleasure, more than our comfort, more than what's convenient for us. Our love for God is measured by our obedience to God. And the thing is, when Israel was circumcised, there was two things that happened, two results. And the same two things happen for you and me when we obey God. We read about it. We're going to read in verse 10 of Joshua 5. The children of Israel camped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight in the plains of Jericho. That's the first thing. The second thing, they ate the produce of the land on the day after Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they'd eaten the produce of the land. The children of Israel no longer had manna. They'd been eating it for 40 years. How many would like to have the same food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 40 years? Some of you complain about leftovers, you know. You talk about, wow, not a lot of creativity. But they no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. What were the two results? Number one, they celebrated Passover, which symbolizes greater intimacy with Christ. The Passover meal is the same meal that Jesus celebrated communion. When he set up communion, the Lord's Supper, he said, "This is my body. This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." He used the items in the Passover meal and says, "This sacrifice of the lamb is my sacrifice for the sin of the world." But he was also saying, he told Paul, when you partake of communion, examine yourself. Don't partake unworthily. Check your life if there is any sin. Take care of any disobedience in your life and get right with God. And we call it communion. Because you see, disobedience develops distance in our relationship with God. Disobedience develops distance. And so when we're coming to a time of communion, we pause, we examine ourselves. Holy Spirit, show me if there's any sin I'm committing. If there's anything that's right that I'm not doing, Lord, reveal it to me. Why? Because if I've got disobedience and I let it harbor in my heart, it's going to create distance in my intimacy. But at communion, I examine myself. God convicts me. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for disobeying. And I now have a greater intimacy with Christ. That's what obedience does. It gives us a greater intimacy, a greater fellowship. If you're struggling with feeling close to God, I ask you, maybe examine your life and say, God, am I walking in disobedience? And be quiet, and I can guarantee you within probably 10 seconds, something will pop to mind, and God will show you what it is that you need to take care of in your life. He's done it to me before. Now, there are some times when God is distant, not because of disobedience, but because he's trying to develop persistence in me. It's the same thing when that plant has no water, its roots go deeper so it can find a water source. But in the process of going deeper looking for water, the root system becomes stronger. And sometimes God withdraws his presence, not because of disobedience, but he wants persistence. He wants us to go deeper with him. And I encourage, if you're sensing any distance from God, either here or you're watching online, just say, God, show me. Is it because of disobedience or because you want to take me deeper? That's a big key. That was the first result of obedience, greater intimacy. The second thing that happened is they ate the promised land's produce. They experienced blessings from obedience. How many realize that we're blessed when we obey? We're blessed when we obey. It's interesting, but we've read from Deuteronomy 10 and Deuteronomy 11, verse 19, God had Moses tell Israel, when you get in the promised land, there are these two mountains, Mount Gerizim, and he says, call that a mount of blessing, and Mount Ebal, call that a mount of cursing. And that's what God told them through Moses in Deuteronomy 11. When you look at Joshua chapter 8, verse 33 and 34, Joshua does the thing that Moses said. He had the people stand on the two mountains. They read the entire law, and there's places in there where God says, if you do this, you're going to be blessed. If you follow me here, if you do this, if you do that, if you keep my commands, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. Now, if you don't do it, if you do this, if you sin, if you disobey, if you rebel, there's cursing, there's consequences, there's negative things. And they read the entire law pointing out blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing. And friends, when we say, I'm going to circumcise my heart, I'm going to sacrifice my will, my ways, my desire for pleasure and comfort because I love God more than I love myself, you know what happens? We get greater intimacy and we experience the blessings of God. Realize that doesn't mean you're never going to have problems. Okay? I'm not saying that you obey God and you're going to have health, wealth, prosperity, and no problems in your life. No, on the contrary, you might have greater issues. Because when you're going all out for God, you now put a bullseye on your back and you're a target for the devil, and he'll do anything he can to dissuade you from going all after God. So it might get tougher, but here's the thing. When you're following God, he's walking with you. He's, as Jesus said, you keep my commands. My Father and I, we make our residence, our home in your heart. You got a greater intimacy. We're there. We give you the power. We give you the comfort. We give you the peace. And even though all hell might be breaking forth with Hurricane Andrew on the outside, you've got God on the inside. And because you built your house on the rock, your house stands in the hurricane. God is faithful in our obedience. He's faithful in our obedience. All right, let's look at the last lesson we learn about loving God and obedience. Number three, I love God's agenda more than I love my agenda. So obedience means getting on God's side instead of getting God on mine. Obedience means, God, I want what you want more than what I want. We see this in verse 13 of Joshua 5. Came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, and realized that they've done the Passover already, they're healed up from circumcision, and they're getting ready now to attack Jericho, he lifts up his eyes, he looks, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Verse 14, so he said, "No." Okay, what kind of answer is that? Are you for us or are you for them? No. I mean, that's kind of a head scratcher. But look what he continues to say. He says, "As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." I'm leading God's army. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and says, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. You see, the question isn't whose side is God on. What the commander was really saying is that, Joshua, whose side are you on? Are you on my side? You see, here's the thing. There are so many people, so many followers of Christ. They have these ideas and these plans, and plans and ideas are good. Okay, there's nothing wrong with them. But what they do, they come to God and they say, "God, here's my plan, and I just want you now to put your stamp of approval on it. God, I know that I wrote this book, this story, but could you just put your name? J.C. Jesus is the author of this plan." And what God wants us to do is come to him with an open book that has blank pages and say, "God, not my will, but yours be done. God, I have an idea, some things I think you've said, but I want your side, not mine. I want your agenda, your plan, more than what I think should happen, because I'm not all-knowing." I know that's a revelation to some of you, okay? But no, none of us are all-knowing except God. And God knows what needs to happen, how our story needs to be written, and why and when. And so we need to be open to him. And I've seen so many people that when God doesn't follow the storyline that they wanted, they disobey God instead of continuing to follow him. What's our mission here at Radius Church? Help all people find and follow Jesus. That's obey. Following Jesus is obeying Jesus. You know, we say it every week, but let me just ask you this. Is God speaking to you anything about your level of obedience this morning? C.S. Lewis, he said, "If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were those who just thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they've become so ineffective in this world. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither." I ask you this morning, what is your focus? What is your aim? Are you trying to get God on your side? "Lord, bless me in this world. Do what I want. I want this now." Or are you saying, "God, give me your kingdom. God, I want to live for eternity. I want to make a difference in other people's lives. I want to follow you, and I want to help other people find and follow. I'm living for eternity, for the other world, instead of what I can get out of it now." Where do you stand today? Are you on God's side or not? I'm going to close with this. There was a Sunday school teacher who asked her class, "How many of you would like to go to heaven?" Hands going up all over the place, you know, "Yeah, I do. But one little guy named Derek didn't raise his hand. And so this teacher very diplomatically inquired as to why Derek didn't want to go to heaven. And this was Derek's response: "Mrs. Spellman, my mommy told me that I need to come home right after Sunday school." I love that. This little kid who's got this heart, I want to obey my mom. She said to come home. So going to heaven is disobeying. I don't want to go to heaven because I want to obey my mom. That's the innocence of a child. But you know, that's what God's looking for in us. An innocent heart that says, I just want to obey my father. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it's painful. Even if it's not the story that I've written, it's not my side, it's not what I want. I just love him so much because he loves me so much. He died for me. He saved me from hell. I'm going to heaven and I've got a relationship. I've got intimacy with him now. And he's blessed me so much as I've walked with him in obedience. I can't begin to count the blessings. Where would my life be if I was not following Jesus? Probably be an alcoholic, divorced once, twice, I don't know how many times, a workaholic. I would be a mess. And Jesus has done so much for me. I'm going to fear God. I'm going to walk in his ways. I'm going to serve him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. I'm going to walk. I'm going to follow, keep his commandments and statutes. I'm going to circumcise the heart of my, the flesh of my heart, because I don't want to be stiff-necked and rebellious and disobedient. I love God, and because of that, I'm going to obey God. There's a statement at the end of your notes this morning. It says, obedience is a conscious choice to align one's actions with God's revealed will based on a deep understanding of God's character and love. Friends, God's character is rock solid. God is faithful. God is good, kind, merciful, caring, loving. And that love, you try to find it, it's greater than the expanse of the furthest star in every direction. His love is greater. You go out and look at the night sky tonight, try to see the farthest star, his love goes beyond it. So when you look at the character of God and the love of God, there's absolutely no reason for us to be willful and disobedient. Friends, God wants to bless us with intimacy, with blessings, with his story for our lives. But we need to yield ourselves and say, God, I'm going to obey you no matter what. Is there anything in your life that God's speaking to you about obedience? Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to love you more than loving ourselves. Help us to circumcise our hearts, cutting away everything that's not of you, everything that's full of self. What is God speaking to you right now about obedience? And if he brings something to mind, I want you to write it down on your notes. Just take your pen, a pen from there in front of you, and write it down. For some of you, maybe God has spoken to you to do something or not do something. You say, God, this is illogical. It doesn't make sense. And you've been resisting because you don't understand what God is doing in this season. Maybe for some of you, you know God said to do something and it's painful. Like maybe forgiving someone who has really, really hurt you and betrayed you. And you're holding on to that. You don't want to let go because it's too painful. And you know God says you need to let go. Some of you, maybe it's you've got this plan, this idea, but you're sensing God saying you need to let go. Maybe some of you, God's calling you into full-time ministry. He's calling you to be a missionary, a pastor, something, and you know you need to surrender your life and begin to follow that direction. What is God speaking to you about obedience? Maybe there's some sin that he says you need to stop doing this, or something positive that you're not doing. You need to start praying regularly. If God's talking to you about obedience this morning, would you just slip your hand up? No one looking around, just put your hand and say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to start to obey you. Whatever that is thing between me and you, just put your hand up. Thank you for your honesty. That's awesome this morning. God, I pray right now that these people will say, I want to obey. Lord, that you'll give them the strength. We can't do it in our own. We need the Spirit who lives inside of us and say, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I surrender, that's when you give me power. Lord, give us the power to obey. There are some of you here this morning, you're not followers of Jesus. You haven't accepted the love of God, that love that sent his Son to die on the cross. You haven't confessed your sin. You haven't said, Jesus, I want you to come into my life and become my leader. You be the king. We sang about he was the king this morning. You haven't made him the king, the ruler of your life, but you know right now the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart that you need to get right with God. He wants a relationship with you, and you need to surrender. If you need God's forgiveness and leadership in your life, would you just put your hand up? No one looking around this morning? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else today? Those who are watching online, maybe he's nudging you saying, hey, this is the moment I want to save your soul. I want to give you a relationship with me. If you know God's speaking to you, just go ahead and put your hand up wherever you're watching us today. Just put your hand up and saying, God, I'm saying yes, forgive me, be my leader. Anyone else here in the house, you'd say, I want God's forgiveness. I want to surrender my life and have him take control. Just put your hand up. Anyone else this morning before we all pray together? Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you. I'd like all of us to repeat this prayer together. No one praying alone. Lord God, I confess that I'm a sinner. Remove my sin as I accept your leadership in my life. I will follow you, obey you, and love you with all my affections. I put you first above anything else. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and dying for me. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.